Greece keeps cutting while France looks for growth.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And we'll start in Europe, where two countries are doing two very different things to get their economies back on track. France wants to cut taxes, and the Greek parliament has just passed a bill that will lead to the layoffs of about 15,000 public employees who had been constitutionally guaranteed jobs for life. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
How big of a deal is it that they are getting rid of thousands of public workers in terms of the overall object of bringing down the size of their debt?
It's a very important contribution. Two things are needed. One is to get the size of the public sector down, but also to ensure that it does its work more efficiently. Greece actually overall does not have, by European standards, a particularly large public sector. The problem that they have, though, is that it is large relative to the amount of tax they've been capable of raising to pay for it. So those two elements are absolutely central to the effort to stabilize their debt situation, get the cost of the public sector down, and to raise tax more efficiently.
Now, meanwhile, in France, there is something very different going on, which is that President Hollande wants to cut taxes to spur growth in the economy.
It is striking, isn't it? France does have the largest public sector in the Eurozone in relation to its national income. And Mr. Hollande did come into office talking about raising taxes. In some sections of the community, that's gone down predictably badly. And what he's now suggesting is that he, or at least there are suggestions coming out of France, that he will propose cutting capital gains tax for entrepreneurs, something intended to make it a little easier for people to set up new businesses. And it has been one of the most long-standing complaints from the business sector in France that taxes and regulations provide a very strong disincentive to people to set up new businesses.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Thanks, Andrew.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.3% right now in Frankfurt, down 0.3% in Tokyo. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow added 11 points to finish at 14,712.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Now to a company you may never have heard of, but you almost certainly interact with it on a daily basis. It's called AppNexus, and it's an exchange that provides advertisers the ability to sell products to you online 13 billion times a day. Brian O'Kelly is the CEO, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so in the simplest terms possible, first of all, if you could just explain what AppNexus is and what it does.
So when you go to any website on the internet, it looks like all of the content and the text and the ads load at the same time. But the ads actually load a blink of an eye later. So if you could pause your browser for just a second, right between, you'd see little white rectangles where the ads appear. Hmm. And what AppNexus does is that in that blink of an eye, we hold an auction to see which advertiser will pay the most for the chance to serve you an ad.
So give me an example here. Let's say I go to MSN.com. What do you know about me that you can use to help sell advertisers the ability to advertise to me?
Well, we know almost nothing. So we don't have any kind of profile or other information about you. What we know is that you're on MSN and that it's a certain time of the day and you're coming from some part of the country. We can usually deduce that from the IP address of your computer. And that's just about it.
So you don't have all of the information about my previous purchases or what kind of things I like or the other sites that I've visited. You don't have all of that to sell.
No, I know almost nothing about you. In fact, I have no idea that it is you when you visit the site.
Could you do your business if web browsers were to stop allowing certain kinds of cookies?
There are things about the browser that help us do a better job. One thing that we know consumers find annoying is seeing the same ad again and again and again.
Yeah.
What we use cookies for is to list out the ads you've seen recently so that we can make sure you don't see the same ad again and again.
But you use cookies for other things as well, I assume.
Very little. We do use it to connect the dots between buyers and sellers, and we use it to do opt-out. So when consumers don't want to see ads or don't want to have certain information used in those ads, we actually track that in a cookie.
How sophisticated is the regulation on this? Do you have to deal with rules and regulations?
There's a lot of industry self-regulation. There's not a lot of government regulation. And to be honest, I think the government has not shown itself to be a great regulator. So from our perspective, it would be great if the industry could find the right way to balance between effective advertising and monetizing websites and, you know, the expectations of consumers.
But don't you think, I mean, you're dealing with 13 billion ads a day. I assume that as this business gets bigger and bigger and bigger, which I'm sure it will, that you're going to have to deal with government regulation.
Well, it's possible. I mean, I think the government certainly cares about the internet, and they've gotten involved in things like net neutrality. But I like where you're going, because you're right that we serve 13 billion ads a day, which means we're paying for 13 billion page views of content. All of that's being funded by advertising. And so the service we're providing to the internet is keeping it free for consumers.
Well, Brian O'Kelly, CEO of AppNexus, thank you so much for joining us. Well,
thanks for having me.
And finally, to Italy, where there is a shortage, apparently, of pizza makers. 6,000 are needed, but according to the Telegraph, many Italians are too proud to take the jobs, which have long hours and don't pay well. There is no time to waste, though. Apparently, Italians eat 3 billion pizzas a year, and they are hungry. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.